This is the Science of Deliberate Creation, and this tape, entitled Career, The Perfect Career, is the eighth tape of a 10-tape album. And this album, Special Subjects Volume 2, was recorded by Abraham in 1991.
Good morning.
Good morning, Abraham.
We are pleased to interact with you upon this topic you have chosen. It is the subject of...
Career.
What is your definition of career?
Well, career itself is more like a life work, something, an occupation that a person would put, could throw themselves into and to be able to put the best of themselves into and the most of themselves into. And, of course, in most cases, people are also wanting to get a return back on that.
When you say a life work, you are meaning...
Something that a person plans to spend the rest of their life doing. However, I would also like this tape to cover the typical thing, like a job, which is more or less, or the profession, or a business, or a trade, or all everything in that area, skilled work.
Are you saying to us that it is a widespread belief or accepted desire of your culture to choose a topic and expect to live happily ever after within one topic forevermore?
Well, it's traditionally been so. From the time that I can remember, people have asked me, what was I going to be when I grew up? I recall when I was about 3, I remember the milkman coming up and bringing that beautiful, delicious milk, those bottles, and setting them there and driving off with his wagon and his horses. And I remember at that time I had, if anybody asked me what I wanted to be, I would have wanted to have been a milkman. And not... Oh, I was about 5, and I remember a policeman caught Mother for the first time, but he had to bang his police car into Mother's car to knock her off the highway. And I, at that time, I was so in admiration of someone who could get my mother to do anything that I wanted to be a policeman for a while. And it wasn't too long after that. I was about 8. I was wrestling with a kid, and when we fell, he landed on my arm and broke it. And I remember Dr. Love setting it and my admiration for him to be able to put those bones back together. And at that time, I was, you know, really excited about being a doctor for when they said, what do you want to be? And then not too long after that, I guess I was about 12, and our house burned to the ground. And I remember the glamour of being a fireman was of excitement. But that was all when I was young. And then as I grew older, I was in my 30s and 40s, and people were asking me, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I hadn't reached that conclusion, but people were a bit disappointed that I was moving from thing to thing and hadn't found that life work or career.
The reason that we are having a little bit of fun with you as we begin is that if it is the goal of society or that which society expects from you as individuals to choose a subject that you intend to stay within forevermore, it is not a surprise to us that so many of you are having a little bit of difficulty with that because you are multifaceted beings and your dominant intent for being here is for the experiencing of your freedom, for the expression of your growth, and for the receiving of your joy. And pinning yourself or pigeonholing yourself into one category is really not conducive to your overall intent for life experience. Therefore, we will say at the outset of this recording that it would be our encouragement that you decide as early in life as possible, maybe even at the hearing of this recording, that your dominant intent or reason for existence, your career, if you will, your chosen career is to live happily ever after. Mm. Your chosen career is to gravitate toward those activities, to embrace those desires that harmonize with your very core intentions, which are freedom and growth and joy, and make a career out of living a happy life rather than making a career out of finding one confining aspect of life and trying to get everything you want from that.
That sounds like fun. There are cultures or tribes still, we call them primitive or savage, but they still operate in that. No, they don't have jobs. In other words, they just kind of live in the moment. In other words, when they're hungry, they catch a fish, or they go get some honey from a tree, or they eat some fruit that's fallen from a tree, and so on, and they don't wear clothes.
Will they be hearing this recording?
No, they won't.
What is the basic category of people that you believe will be hearing this recording?
There are people who believe they have to have a job.
And toward what end? In other words, if you could identify the predominant reason for identifying early in life your career and then pursuing it, what do you think the reason would be? Of course, you cannot speak for all, but...
It's almost a moral or an ethical position that this is what you should do or must do or ought to do. In other words, it's not considered very proper to be able to just have an income come without giving something for it, like a job, like without being productive.
And so are you saying to us that at the very basis of the idea or concept of career is a belief that I must justify my existence?
Yes.
Perhaps that is the reason that what do you do for a living is one of the first questions that one stranger asks another. In other words, they're wanting that label or that handle. Who you are seems to be in your society rather than dependent upon what you are giving back. Would you agree?
True. For the bulk of my, for about 40 years, I earned my living on expending about an hour and a half a day. And people would come to me sometimes voicing almost a resentment that I should have such an income without putting out more time. And I always justify by saying, but in this hour and a half, I put out more energy, I would say, probably than you do in your full 8 hours that you work or what have you. In other words, I always felt that need to justify how I was paying a price.
It is not unusual that you would feel a need to justify when you sense some sort of attack coming toward you. In other words, that is a very natural response. When someone is coming after you, there is a natural response to defend yourself in some way, thus the feeling of justification coming forth. But what we are wanting to highlight here is something that is very essential for everyone to understand, and that is whenever you are feeling like attacking another, in other words, if I see you thriving and prospering mm-hmm. on your hour a day, mm-hmm. and it brings forth within me a feeling of lack, what that is saying to me is, I'm not happy where I am. I'm unhappy with what I'm doing for my money, sure. and seeing you happy in what you're doing for your money just reminds me that I'm not happy where I am. And so sometimes what you do for one another is you inflame a feeling of lack within the other. But it is not your role to fix the feeling of lack within anyone. It is your role as an individual to keep yourself in balance, and it is up to them to keep themselves in balance. You cannot modify your behavior in enough different ways to keep everyone from feeling lack when they see you. For there will be those who felt lack under one set of behaviors that you would offer, and someone else that would feel lack if you were offering another set of behaviors. What we're really getting at here and what we are probing for as we are beginning this recording is that when you are allowing society or even one other person to prescribe to you what you should want or how you should behave, you are in a place of negative attraction because nobody else can decide for you. And almost always you get right away in a place of defense or in a place of justification. We would like to bring the subject of career to a more tangible level. In other words, we would like to bring it into the arena where more of the people who are hearing this recording can get their thoughts around it or their teeth into it. What is the primary motivation for having a career? Or is there more than one?
There's more than one.
And
yes.
So let's see if we can hit upon the top two or three or four reasons. Is it for the receiving of dollars?
For many, it is. I think for most, that's the primary reason.
Is it for the reason of wanting to be of value to this physical time and place?
There was a study recently done that in priorities of kind of what you're just asking, and the study said that prestige was the number one reason, purpose in a job. In other words, if a person was offered the choice of having a higher title or more dollars, that most of them chose the title, even though they didn't get the raise. In other words, they preferred the prestige over the dollars. So there are a lot of things mixed into
it. And so that is not the dollars or the wanting to be a value to society as a whole. That is more wanting to fill one's own feeling of void. In other words, from his place of lack, of not feeling that he is enough, he is wanting the title or the prestige so that others will view him as having enough or as being enough.
Good.
We are in agreement with that study as we are viewing your society as a whole. It is our acknowledgement that almost all are not feeling fulfilled in their beingness. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they are not feeling fulfilled is that they are looking outside of themselves for that fulfillment. They're looking outside of themselves where it is not. And as a result, they are using very artificial standards or measures to acknowledge their success, such as the title or the office with a window or the office on the top floor or the bigger office with the nicer furnishings. The more acknowledgement from peers, the more success that they are feeling. And it is so out of harmony with the laws of the universe that it is not a surprise to us that few are finding that way of going about fulfilling that gap as a way that does fulfill the gap. In other words, when you are taking action from a perspective of lack, the action does not satisfy the lack, but it adds more power to the lack. And so there is always more that is wanted, always more that is wanted, and never a feeling of satisfaction where one is. That is of extreme importance to us here as we're up on the subject of teaching deliberate creation, because we understand so fully the law of attraction. And we understand that as you stand in a place where you are not satisfied, but you are always looking to a greater place of attainment, feeling lack where you are, but looking to a brighter future, because law of attraction is shining upon where you are and making more of it, it is not a surprise to us that there is so much dissatisfaction in the workplace or in the physical life experience of the majority of those that you are interacting with and that we are observing.
Okay. So after about 20 years or during 20 years or so of in the entertainment industry and a wide variety of aspects of that, I really had a lot of fun, required a few hours, had a lot of challenge, you might say, because I did so many different things, had so many new experiences. And yet, when people would ask me what was wrong, why was I looking otherwise or considering otherwise, my line was, I feel like I'm walking across the sands of life, and when I look back, I'm not leaving any tracks. So how would you, in other words, is there some
and
kind
so
of...
And so you are one that would fall into the category that we described earlier, who is, or at least at that time you were one, who was looking for a way of being of value to all that is.
Right.
You were wanting to uplift or add to this physical time and place in which you are a part.
But is that some sort of void also? Another, does that feeling, I guess where I'm headed, do we have those kind of drives that come from another level of ourselves, or is that just all gained right here with what somebody taught us or told us since we were born in this physical experience?
That is a very core intention. In other words, you held that intent as you were standing in the non-physical prior to your emergence into the physical. One of your dominant reasons for coming forth is for the purpose of adding unto that which is. You see, your physical teaching, for the most part, is contrary to that. Your physical teaching, and we're not speaking only of you, we're speaking of almost everyone who exists upon your planet. There is a belief that has been perpetuated here in your physical time and place that says, we are unworthy, we are here to prove ourselves worthy of something greater. We are the unknowing ones that are here to learn, and that which is non-physical is learned, is complete, is perfect, and it is our role as physical creatures to catch up with that. When your core belief, that which you knew prior to your emergence, was absolutely opposite of that, you knew that coming forth into this physical experience was taking thought beyond that which it had been before, And so it is that inner knowing that literally urges or motivates or drives you toward wanting to be of value. That is very natural.
Is that me or is that all of us?
Every being who is upon your planet has deep within them an understanding that that is why they are here in this physical body, and an urging to fulfill that. However, the reason that almost no one is doing it is because you're doing it from your place of lack. You're saying, I'm not enough. I'm not satisfied. I don't know what to do. And from your place of lack, you cannot find your balance, you see. Most of you are going about your physical careers, this business of living your life, or this business of earning your money, or this business of interacting with one another, from a place of such pointed, pronounced lack. It's what you talk about. It's what you think about. And from that perspective, that's where you take your action. As physical creatures, so much of what you do is to soothe something that is wrong. In other words, rather than being in a place that feels good, where law of attraction amplifies and adds more of that, most of you are aware of negative consequences, and then to avoid negative consequences, you take action. And by law, action that is taken from awareness of lack or of negative consequences does not lead to something that you are wanting. It is our absolute promise to you that you cannot have a happy ending to a journey that has not been pleasant along the way. The end absolutely does not justify the means. The means or the path along the way always brings about an identical ending, you see.
In other words, in my particular case, most important to me has always been my freedom. And so as a result, I was never willing to give up much of my freedom for dollars. And so I had very little interest in dollars either, or in things. And so as I moved through all that, but then when this awareness came that there was something more that I wanted than just having fun, this no footprints left in the sand, it's like about the time that awareness became clear to me, in a motel there by chance, there was a book on a coffee table called Think and Grow Rich, and I wasn't interested in thinking in those days, or growing rich, obviously, but for some reason it caught my attention, and as I read it, I realized it just, like the hair stood up, on my body. It was just like I found something that was going to have a meaning in my life when I got into that book, like within 12 pages of it, and it told me how I could get the things that I wanted out of life. And it said, clearly, just make a decision about what you want. And that sounded pretty clear. And so for the first time in my life, I consciously started writing down and making decisions what I wanted. And so then when people say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, well, I know I want to be self-employed. I want a business of my own. I want no place of business. I don't want my foot nailed to the floor. I want no employees. I don't want that kind of responsibility. I wanted freedom. I wanted to be able to control my income. I didn't want it to be in sales, but I wanted it to be mobile so I could travel or be anywhere that I wanted to be. I wanted it to be something that every life I touched, I elevated them in some way, or just left them at where they were, but that no one would ever be diminished as a result of knowing me. And people used to laugh when I'd tell them. They said, oh, Jerry, you're such a dreamer. There's no such thing as that. And I said, well, there has to be. Like Emerson said, if you have the want, then you have it's there for you. And I believe that. And so I really expected somewhere along the line for this to show up. And it was almost within days of me clarifying this that I met a man, a stranger to me, in a motel. We're both passing through the town. He showed me a business I could take to California and start. And it answered everything. And so for the next 20 years of my life, that really took hold. And it was the same hours that I wanted. And it was everything that I wanted. So is that what you say to us, that even though I didn't know what the skills, whether it would be, I didn't say it had to be something I was capable of doing, or I had the talent or the ability or the intelligence for, or I just said, this is what I want. Can any of us have that? Can any of us have whatever we want once we clarify what it is that we want?
Absolutely. And it is essential that you do clarify what you want in order for the doors to begin opening. Circumstances and events of the universe begin to unfold once and only when you identify what you are wanting. Now, the power of your story and of what you have lived is this.
Okay.
You have, by your own words and by the example of your life experience, pointed something very important out to yourself and to anyone that is viewing. And that is, nothing was more important to you than your freedom. It is our knowing that not only did you hold a powerful passion for freedom, but also a powerful passion for upliftment or joy, and a powerful passion for growth. As you think about what you have just said to us, all three of those elements were present in everything that you were wanting. Mm-hmm. Freedom, you kept saying, I do not want my foot to be nailed to the floor, mm-hmm. I want to be mobile. Mm-hmm. Many statements that you offered just now were an indicator of your quest for freedom. I'm wanting to be uplifted, I'm not wanting anyone to be diminished, is an indicator of your acknowledgement that you are happier when you are feeling your value, mm-hmm. and that you're not happy if you ever feel that you are taking advantage of or diminishing anyone in any way. Your life experience of interacting with many different adventures, in other words, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, is an indicator of your wanting for growth. In other words, that triad of intentions of freedom and growth and joy is within all of you. But what happens with most, unlike you, most allow themselves, because of the pressures of society, to be hammered into a pigeonhole or into a category where their feeling of freedom is absolutely suppressed. And so most are coming from such a severe place of lack that their triad of intentions of freedom and growth and joy is very much out of balance. And so then they do, as we were describing a few minutes ago, they become one who is always trying to soothe something that is wrong, trying to fill up some hole in their life experience, but always from a place of lack. Now, we're wanting to add clarity to our offering about these triad of intentions. You were born with them. In other words, that's who you were prior to your emergence. It's the reason that all of you are here in this physical time and place. You're wanting to experience the absolute deliciousness of your freedom, and you're wanting to offer the clarity of your thought for the experience of joy, and you are wanting, as a result of that, to receive the absolute experience of growth.
You're speaking of all of us, all humans.
Freedom is the basis of your life experience. It isn't something that you have to earn. And joy is your objective, and growth is the result of all of that. But most of you, because you've been convinced that you're unworthy, and you really think that you're here to prove yourselves worthy of something else, you've been convinced that you are not worthy, and from that place of lack, you set out through this life experience to prove that you are worthy. And so we say, your objective is freedom, growth, and joy. And you say, oh, I hear you, Abraham, and I'm here to prove myself worthy. I will have my growth. I will have my growth. I will have my growth. And we say, hear us, freedom and growth and joy, an even triad of intentions. Freedom and growth and joy, one not being a greater passionate wanting than the other. And you say, yes, growth, 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 I will prove myself worthy. And we say, you are out of balance because you've been convinced that you're not enough, and that defensiveness within you is in your wanting to be enough. We are wanting you to understand that you have nothing to prove to anyone, that you have nothing to justify. Your reason for existence does not have to be justified. Your existence is justification enough for your reason for existence. If you could just accept your beingness, and then from a very centered place say, I want to have joy. And as I follow my bliss, I know that my growth will be a natural byproduct of it. Then you would get into the balance. It is necessary that you want to feel good. And when you want to feel good, then you will notice which thoughts don't feel good, which actions don't feel good, which words don't feel good. And then you will get down to the business of being and doing and having that which you have come forth to be and do and have. You see, your career as a physical creature upon this earth is a creator. You're not a creator of things. You're not a regurgitator of what someone else has done. You're not a gatherer of stuff. You are a creator. And the subject of your creation is your joyful life experience. You are the creator of your life experience. That is your mission. That is your quest. That is why you are here. You are here to gather around you enough stuff and enough having, enough being, enough doing that you feel good. And as you achieve that, in your feeling good, you ooze it or radiate it or offer it to all that is. But in your trying to prove your worthiness of gathering this and doing this and doing this, and in the absence of your balance, you offer confusion to the world. In your suffering, you offer suffering. In your pain, you offer pain. In your lack, you offer lack, you see. Your true career is your joyful, balanced life experience. That's why you are here. Oh, and there are many ways that you will express yourself. In other words, there is much doing. There is much that you can offer in a physical, action-oriented way to this physical time and place. We agree. But from your place of lack, you will never add it.
Before we go further on the career aspect, let me ask you about a little different direction here, because of the association of careers and dollars. Would you say that it would be morally right, ethically right, correct, appropriate for a person to never have never give back, in other words, to produce or create, in other words, where they just lived off of inherited money, or they just lived off of one money, you know, something like the lottery or something, or whether they just lived off of welfare or donated money? Would you say that's okay for all of us?
Absolutely. The confusion, even as you are asking this question on behalf of all of those who would ask this question,
right,
is that most of you believe that you must justify your getting with action. Some would say, it's just not fair. I've worked hard and I'm not getting what I want. And that lazy one has not worked hard and he won the lottery, or he inherited from his grandfather. And in offering nothing, he has received something. Life is just not fair, you say. And we say, life is perfectly fair, because what you are oozing or radiating outward is absolutely consistent with what you are getting back. And if you are focused upon lack, if you are lamenting not enough money, and if you are jealous and outraged at that one who has money, you are in a position where you are so focused upon the lack of what you are wanting that it is defiant of law for you to receive it. Nothing is fairer than life as you are living it, because as you are oozing, let's start at another place, as you are thinking, you are vibrating, and as you are vibrating, you are attracting. You are getting back precisely what you are giving. But what is confusing most of you is that you think that you get only relative to your action, and you think that your action is your justification for your getting. And we are here to tell you that your action is responsible for a minuscule part of what you are receiving. You are offering thoughts which vibrate, and by virtue of what you are offering in thought, you are getting. And then you try to compensate for what you have messed up with your thoughts by action. Your hospitals are filled to the brim with those who are now trying to compensate for thoughts of illness. You think of illness, you worry about your illness, you fear it, you talk about it, you see it here, you statisticize it. You gather all of this evidence about illness until you attract illness, and then you take action to try to get rid of illness. And we say, you're going about it the hard way.
Do me a favor. Take, from your perspective, take dollars out of the equation, so to speak, as relative to what we do with our life, the doing part. Then, what is it appropriate, would you say, for us to consider doing with our life if we're not doing it for dollars?
Now, you are utilizing our philosophy, for we are forever saying, if you could get dollars out of the equation, dollars where you are feeling so much lack, that many of the things that you are wanting would begin to flow into your experience. Do you believe that anyone who is hearing this tape upon career is in a position to take dollars out of the equation?
A few.
In other words, you are, for this part of this recording, wanting to speak to those who are seeking career from the point of fulfillment rather than from the point of filling up some place of lack?
And let the dollars come in secondary.
We've been teaching a process, and it is the perfect process for the attraction of whatever you are wanting. And it is so well situated here upon this topic of career, because it is what your life experience is all about. We've been hammering away at the idea of taking action to fill voids and how that never helps. In other words, as you say, if I don't take this action of going to work, I won't have these dollars, and if I don't have these dollars, then I can't pay for my house, I can't pay for my car, I can't pay for my food, I can't take care of my family. And so you are taking action from this very negative perspective of the consequences of what would happen if you don't act, and then you wonder why you're not finding or attracting any satisfaction in your work. That's what we call creating from the outside in. On the other hand, if you could start from the inside out and say, very much as you did, I want to feel good. I want to be fulfilled. I want to feel my value and my purpose. I want to feel good. I want to feel good. I want to feel good. I want to feel my freedom. I want to feel my growth. I want to feel my joy. If you would concentrate upon looking for those sorts of feelings for a little while, then your life plan would begin to unfold in a positive way. The reason that most of you are feeling so much confusion is because you're not starting at your center. You're starting on the outside peripheral edges, trying to fix this, trying to fix this, trying to fix this, trying to fix this. It's like having a roof that has so many holes, and you're trying to fill up this hole and try to fill up this hole and try to fill up this hole and try to fill up this hole, and there's just not enough of you to go around. You can't put enough putty in your roof to keep the water from leaking in upon your head. If we were talking to you on your first day of physical experience, we could be of great advantage to you, because we would say, welcome to planet Earth. There is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. And your work here, your lifetime career, is to seek joy. You live in a universe of absolute freedom. You are so free that every thought that you think will attract unto you. As you think thoughts that feel good to you, you will be in harmony with who you really are. And so utilize your profound freedom. Seek joy, and all of the growth that you could ever imagine will come joyously and abundantly unto you. But we're not talking to you on the first day of your life experience. We're talking to you long after you've been convinced by others that you're unworthy, and that you're not free, and that you must prove yourself through your action worthy of receiving. You've been convinced that you must justify your life experience. What we are wanting you to understand is that even though we're not speaking to you on your first day, and even though there are many beliefs that are within you that are in your way of your true balance of freedom and growth and joy, if you will stop right now wherever you are, whether you're without career and trying to find it, or whether you are in the midst of having employment or work that is not satisfying to you, if you are one who feels, I can't quit my work because I can't be without this money, or if you are one who is in this place where you say, I can't survive much longer without money, I've got to do something. In short, no matter where you are currently standing, if you will make a decision to look for the positive aspects of where you are standing right now, it is our absolute promise to you that you will begin the positive attraction of this balance of freedom and growth and joy that you are seeking. You don't have to go back and undo anything. You don't have to beat up on yourself anymore for what you have not accomplished. You have only to say, here I am on the first day of the rest of my physical life experience, and it is my dominant intent from this moment forward to look for reasons to feel good. I want to feel good. Nothing is more important to me than that I feel good. As you go to work, and that one who has been belittling you, overbearing to you, that one who is feeling so much lack in himself that he's trying to make himself feel better by being critical of you or stepping upon you, as you go to work intending to look for reasons to feel good, you will see in him things that you have not noticed before. In other words, you will recognize that he is not so different from you, that he is one that, too, is trying to seek his fulfillment, that he, too, wants to know his own value. He's just in a negative spiral, and you have been helping him in his chain of pain. As he has punched you in the nose, you have risen in defense, and you have punched him back. As he has made you feel bad, you have wanted to make him feel bad. And in your place of resentment and perpetuation of all of this, you have contributed to the negative spiral. But when you are one who says, wait, there is nothing more important to me than that I feel good, what you will begin to notice is that you are evoking more people who are also wanting to feel good, and that you are more of the time, in other words, more often than is your usual experience, evoking from others reasons to feel good. We are not saying that you are in a position where you can change the thinking or the behavior of those who surround you. But we are saying that there is more that is in harmony with your wanting within them than you are currently allowing yourself to see. As you are feeling trapped by where you stand and resentful of where you stand, you are evoking more and more of what you are not wanting. And that is the predominant reason that you are feeling so much dissatisfaction in your currently chosen or unchosen career. We would like you to stand back a little bit and see your career not as this work that you are doing for money. We would like you to see your career as the expenditure of life experience in return for joyful experience. If you could let your objective be joy, many of the thoughts that you think, you would no longer want to think. Many of the words that you speak, you would find uncomfortable. If you will say nothing is more important than that I feel good, you will find yourself guiding yourself to different behavior of thought, behavior of word, and behavior of action. This is the only way we know to bring any of you to a place of joyful attraction. It is not a matter of so much doing. It is a matter of deciding that you want to feel good and then being strong enough, particular enough to guide your thoughts toward that which does feel good.
Abraham, as we move into the final minutes of this session, I would like you, if you would, to consider factoring in the wide variety of things like growth potential, income potential, the potential demand for the product or the service, and the dollars or the ability that's required for moving forward into this career or field or business and so on and so forth, and things like prestige and environment and associates that you would be operating with and so on. Did I mention dollars? Include dollars. But if you include, and how much time would take involvement in, if you include all of that in, or whatever the individual is wanting to get to consider, what would you say to the person now who is either moving toward their first field of employment or making a career change or considering a change within the current career? What would you say to that person now? What do I do to move forward from here?
I would say to you that the more specific you are about what you are wanting, the more pointedly powerful that you are. And the benefit in having lived some of what you don't want is that it has brought you to a clearer perspective of what you do want. But remember, every subject is really two subjects. There is the having of that which you are wanting or the lack of that which you are wanting. And what holds most of you back or keeps you in a place of not getting what you want is that you live something you don't want, and then you keep talking about what you have lived that you don't want. You keep emphasizing the fact, here I stand where I don't want to be, but if I could just get over there, then I would be happier. If I could just find an employer that appreciated me more, or if I just had a room with a bigger window, or if I just had more money, then I would be happier. And what we are wanting to remind you is that law of attraction is shining upon your perspective of what is. And so if what is predominantly being experienced by you from your perspective of lack, you will forevermore continue to perpetuate that perspective of lack. That is the reason that as you can't bear what you're doing anymore and so you stop doing it and you get a new job, very often that new job has with it all of the same negative things that the old one did.
Unless...
And the reason for that is because you continue to give your attention to what you do not want.
So in other words, unless a person now focuses on what they do want instead and get the focus off of what they didn't want in the current or in the previous position, they'll just continue to recreate the same negative situation.
That is absolutely correct. No matter how justified you are in your negative emotion, you are still messing up your future. It is important that you accept that you are living the balance of your thought. And if you look at your life experience regarding your career, no matter how you define that, and you say, something is missing, or I'm experiencing things that I don't want to experience, then we say to you, it is for one reason only. The balance of your thought is on the lack side of the equation rather than upon the wanting side of the equation. You are very wise when you say, it is important that you identify what you want. And we say, yes, think about what you want. Look around the world and say, I prefer that, and I prefer that, and I prefer that, and I prefer that. But then do the other part of the equation, which is make a decision in your now to look for reasons to feel good. For in your feeling good, you open the door and allow all of these wonderful things that you have defined to flow gloriously into your experience. Most of you have given enough thought to what you want to keep you happily busy for 10 or 20 lifetimes. But they cannot get into you because your door is closed. And the reason that your door is closed is because you are so busy complaining about what is, so busy defending where you now stand. And we say, give it up. In your defense, in your justification, in your blaming, in your rationalization, you are only messing up your own experience. Look for reasons to feel good. And in your joy, you open your door. And as you open your door, all of these things that you have said I want can then flow in. It is our expectation that under those conditions you would live happily ever after, which after all is that which you have truly intended as you have come forth into this career of physical life experience. Okay. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. Mm-hmm. There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.
This is the end of side A of the tape entitled Career, the Perfect Career. Please turn the cassette over and continue with the dialogue from Salado, Texas, on the subject of careers.